Daf Membeis. So Rav Huna ate 13 rolls of kisnin bread, and he didn't bench. Rav Nachman said, well, you were clearly eating to satisfy your hunger, so how can you not bench? And so Rav Nachman holds that whenever you eat the amount of kisnin bread that you would be making a meal on that, then you would have to say the same brachas that you'd say on bread. You have to wash and bench. Rav Yehuda saw people saying hamotzi on pasa baba kisnin. He said, why are you saying hamotzi? They said, well, we have a brisa that Rav Yehuda, this is a different Rav Yehuda, the Rav Yehuda of the story is an Amora. This Rabbi Yehuda that we're quoting in the Braisa is a Tana. So the Braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda says that you would say Hamotzi on Pasav Abakisnin, and Shmuel says that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda from our story says, no, Shmuel said that the Halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, that you wouldn't say Hamotzi on Kisnin bread. But then they questioned him, and he said, they said, Rabbi Yehuda, you say, and you yourself say in the name of Shmuel, that if you have an Erev that you're making, and you bring the kisnin bread to one of the houses, then you can eat that kisnin bread, but you'd have to say a motzi and bench on it. And so our Rabbi Yehuda answers that, no, what I meant to say is that you could say a motzi when you're making it as your meal, but if it's not a meal, you're just eating kisnin as a snack, then you would not say a motzi. Rav Papa went to Rav Huna Breid Rav Nachman's house, Rav Nassan's house, and they finished their meal, and they brought out something else, and our papa started to eat it, right? And Rav Huna Berei Rav Nassan says, don't you hold that once you finish your meal, you're not allowed to eat until you say a bracha achrona and you make another bracha? Because you showed that you finished your meal, so you have to make new brachos. So Rav Papa says, no, the reason I'm allowed to eat now is that halacha only applies once you take away the bread and all the food. But since there's still food out on the table, then it's okay for me to continue eating. Rava and Rav Zera went to the house of the Reish Galusa, and they removed the table after the meal, so they removed all the food, and then they subsequently brought out more food. Rava started to eat, and Rav Zera didn't. So Rav Zera says to Rava, don't you hold that you're not allowed to eat? And Rava said, no, since we're guests at someone's house, it's different, because we never really knew when the meal was going to end, and so we still had the kavana that the entire time that he's bringing out food, you know, we're still going to eat. Rav says that if people always put oil on their hands after the meal, then that's what's considered the end of his meal, and after you put the oil on your hands, you can't eat anymore without new brachos. So we actually say that the lacha is like none of these qualifications for what's considered the end of the meal. Rather, the lacha is like Rav, who says there are three immediacies, that after smicha, immediately there's shechita, meaning for a karban, smicha is where you lean on the karban, and shechita is the shechting. So immediately after the smicha is the shechita. After Geula, immediately we say Tefillah, meaning like before we had said Smichas Geula LeTefillah. And after you wash Mayim Achronim, immediately you would bench. And so that proves that what's considered the end of your meal when you do Mayim Achronim. And Abaye says we can add another one to that list, that once you have a Talmud Chacham in your house, immediately comes Bracha, just like Yaakov, who was in Lavan's house, and Yosef, who was in Potiphar's house, and they both brought Bracha to their respective houses. So the next Mishnah says that the bracha on wine before the meal, meaning before you say amotzi, would cover the wine for after the meal, but before benching. The bracha on a side dish before the meal would cover a bracha on a side dish after the meal. The bracha on bread would cover pasav abakisnin, but pasav abakisnin would not cover bread. Beis Shammai says pasav abakisnin wouldn't even cover the porridge. So next clause says that if people are sitting together, then they each make brachos to themselves. However, if they're all reclining together, showing that they're all eating together as one suda, then one person can say the bracha for everyone. Wine that's drunk during the meal would require everyone saying a bracha to themselves. But if they drink wine after the meal, then one person can say a bracha for all of them. And that guy who makes the bracha on the wine would also say the bracha on the incense, even though it's brought out after the meal. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan going on the Mishnah, which said that the wine before the meal would cover the wine after the meal, that only applies on Shabbos and Yontif, where it's normal that you're going to drink wine after the meal. However, on regular days, you'd have to make new brachos on every single cup of wine that you drink after the meal, because people usually don't plan to drink more, and they don't establish their meal around wine. Rabbi Yochanan ben Levi says, yep, it's only on Shabbos and Yontif that this halacha would apply, or when you're leaving the bathhouse or you're coming from bloodletting, because then it's normal to establish your meal around wine. However, the rest of the year, you should make a new bracha for every single cup of wine. Rava was eating during a during a regular weekday, and he said separate brachos on every single cup of wine he had after the meal. And Rabbi Bar Meri said, yeah, you're doing well. He praised him for going like Rabbi Shimon Levi. Abaye actually made separate brachos on every cup of wine he had after the meal, and this was on Yontiv, so he shouldn't have been doing that. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef says, don't you hold like Rabbi Shimon Levi that you don't have to make further brachos on every single separate cup of wine after your meal on Yontiv? So Abaye says, no, I actually changed my mind because I never actually established my meal on wine, and I never drink wine after the meal. So in this case, when I did, I had to make separate brachos. So we asked, does the bracha on wine that you drink during the meal, would that cover you for after the meal? So the two options are, we could say, yes, it would cover you, because this is the same as drinking wine before the meal and drinking wine after the meal. The bracha before covers the bracha after. So the bracha on wine during the meal should definitely cover you for the bracha on wine after the meal. Or we could say, no, here it's different, because when you drink the wine before and after the meal, that's where you really want to drink it. However, when you drink wine during the meal, that's just you want to wet the food that's going down, and therefore this would be different. So Rav and Rav Nachman would say that the wine during the meal would cover you for the wine after the meal, and Rav Kahana and Rav Sheshes and all of Rav's Talmidim, showing that Rav actually went back on his opinion later, say that it would not cover you for after the meal. Rava challenged Rav Nachman from our Mishnah, where it says that if they brought wine during the meal, then you say separate brachos for everyone says separate brachos. If they brought wine after the meal, then one person would say a bracha for all of them. So they're saying, isn't this a case where you had wine during the meal and everyone said brachos, and now you have wine coming again after the meal and everyone's saying brachos again? But if the bracha on the wine during the meal covers you for the bracha of the wine after the meal, then why do they have to say brachos again? Shouldn't the bracha that they made during the meal cover you for the wine that you're drinking after the meal? So that shows that clearly it doesn't, that it wouldn't cover you for after the meal. But Rav Nachman can actually answer, no, you read it as two separate things, that in the second case, we're talking about wine that was only brought after the meal, not during the meal. So we said in our Mishnah that the bracha on bread would cover kisnin, but on Pasuk B'Kisnin, that would not cover the bracha on bread, and Beit Shammai says it doesn't even cover porridge. So what's Beit Shammai arguing about? Is he arguing on the first clause, and this is what's going on. The Tanakhama is saying bread covers your kisnin, which is your dessert at the end of the meal, so certainly it would cover porridge, which is the main course, and Beit Shammai is saying, no, bread wouldn't even cover the porridge, let alone this Pasuk B'Kisnin that you're eating for dessert. Or is Beit Shammai arguing on the second clause, and this is what the Brisa means to say. The Mishnah means to say that the Tanakhama is saying that the bracha on kisnin, pasuk on kisnin, doesn't cover bread. However, it only doesn't cover bread. It would cover the porridge, which is the main course. And Beit Shammai is saying, no, it wouldn't even cover the porridge either. So what's Beit Shammai's argument? We said, take it, we're not sure, we'll let this question stand. So our Mishnah had said that people that are sitting together, that's when they would say, they would bench to themselves. However, if they were reclining, then one person would say it would bench for all of them. We have another brisa which seems to contradict this. It says 10 people that are traveling, even if they're all eating one loaf of bread, they would all bench to themselves. However, if they're sitting together, even if they're eating separate bread, they would all bench together. One person would bench for all of them. However, this says that when they're sitting, one person can bench for all of them, which seems to contradict our Mishnah, which said that they have to be reclining. So if Nachman Yitzchak answers no, because in that case they specified that they were all going to eat together at a certain place, and therefore the specification of eating a meal together is the same as, this is the same thing as reclining in terms of creating a seuda that everyone's a part of, and therefore one person can bench for all of them. So after Rav's students came back from his funeral, they were eating together, and they weren't sure if when the Mishnah says reclining, it's only when you recline, does one person make the bracha for all of them? And in that case, they did not recline. Or is it that the fact that they had said, let's all eat together, and they had designated that they were all going to eat together, that would do the same job as reclining, and therefore one person can bench for all of them? So they didn't know how to read the Mishnah, they weren't sure. And Rav Ada bar Ava actually tore Kriya again, he tore his clothes again, and he mourned the death of Rav, and that Rav died, and they didn't even learn the halachos of benching. Until finally, after they were despairing enough, an old man came, and usually we say that's actually Eliyahu, and he taught them the answer of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, that designating a meal to be eaten together is the same as reclining shkeach.